Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Narchries podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Debbie Mirza wrote, The Covert Passive-Aggressive Narcissist as a self-help and recovery guide for people trying to understand hidden emotional and psychological abuse. The book focuses on a form of narcissistic behavior that is less theatrical than the popular image of grandiosity, yet often deeply destabilizing because it operates through subtle control, denial, emotional withholding, passive aggression, and public charm. Mirza approaches the subject from the perspective of a restorative coach and survivor-oriented educator rather than as a clinical diagnostic manual. Its purpose is practical to help readers recognize patterns that may have been difficult to name, understand why those patterns create confusion and self-doubt, and begin a process of healing after relationships with covertly manipulative people. The book is commonly positioned for survivors of intimate, family, workplace, or authority-based relationships, and it emphasizes validation, clarity, boundaries, and the gradual rebuilding of self-worth after chronic invalidation. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, covert narcissism as a hidden pattern of control rather than obvious grandiosity. A central contribution of the book is its focus on narcissistic abuse that does not look dramatic from the outside. Mirza distinguishes the covert, passive-aggressive narcissist from the openly arrogant or domineering figure often discussed in mainstream conversations about narcissism. The covert pattern may appear polite, helpful, sensitive, modest, or socially admirable, which makes the abusive dynamic harder for the target to explain. The problem is not simply that the person is quiet or introverted, but that the pleasant surface can coexist with repeated devaluation, emotional evasion, blame shifting, and control. This framing is important because many survivors doubt their perceptions when the person who harms them is praised by others. The book treats confusion itself as evidence worth examining, especially when private interactions leave the reader feeling diminished while public appearances suggest everything is normal. By emphasizing hiddenness, Mirza broadens the discussion of narcissistic abuse beyond visible cruelty and invites readers to notice patterns over isolated incidents. Secondly, passive aggression, gaslighting, and emotional withholding as primary mechanisms. Mirza pays close attention to the tactics that make covert narcissistic abuse difficult to identify in real time. Instead of relying only on open insults or direct threats, the covert passive-aggressive narcissist may use silence, subtle contempt, selective kindness, indirect criticism, plausible denial, and emotional absence. These behaviors can leave the target searching for proof, because each incident may seem too small to justify the level of distress it produces. Gaslighting becomes especially damaging in this context because the abuser can deny intent, minimize the harm, or imply that the target is overly sensitive. Emotional withholding is also significant. Affection, attention, approval, or reassurance may be given inconsistently, creating dependency and anxiety. The book explains these mechanisms in practical terms, so readers can shift from asking whether a single act was abusive to observing the cumulative pattern. That shift matters because covert abuse is often recognized only when the repeated cycle of confusion, apology, hope, and renewed hurt becomes visible. Thirdly, the psychological impact of chronic invalidation on identity and self-worth. The book repeatedly connects covert narcissistic behavior with the internal consequences experienced by survivors. Mirza describes how ongoing devaluation, denial, and emotional manipulation can erode self-esteem, distort self-trust, and leave a person feeling anxious, depressed, guilty, or detached from a clear sense of identity. This emphasis is useful because survivors often focus on trying to understand the other person while neglecting the condition of their own nervous system and self-concept. The book presents the damage as cumulative rather than isolated. A person may not be harmed only by one cruel remark, but by months or years of being made responsible for another person's moods, denied a fair hearing, or treated as the problem for naming the problem. In this way, Mirza validates the disproportionate exhaustion many readers report after relationships that outsiders may not recognize as abusive. The analysis encourages readers to treat their emotional symptoms as meaningful signals rather than personal weakness or overreaction. Fourthly, recognition across romantic, family, workplace, and authority relationships. A notable feature of the book is that it does not limit covert narcissistic abuse to romantic partnerships. Mirza discusses the relevance of the pattern in relationships with parents, partners, supervisors, friends, and others who hold emotional or practical power. This broader scope is important because covert narcissistic dynamics often become entrenched where the target has difficulty leaving, questioning authority, or being believed. A parent can define the emotional climate of a household, a partner can shape daily intimacy and dependency, and a supervisor can use professional power while maintaining a positive public image. By treating these contexts together, the book helps readers compare patterns without assuming that abuse must look identical in every setting. It also explains why witnesses may misread the situation. The person causing harm may appear generous, competent, self-sacrificing, or charming to people outside the private relationship. This contextual approach makes the book useful for readers trying to understand why the abuse felt real, even when it lacked obvious public evidence. Lastly, healing through validation, boundaries, self-reconnection, and restored clarity, Mirza does not present recognition as the final goal. The book moves from naming covert narcissistic patterns toward healing after emotional and psychological abuse. Its recovery orientation emphasizes validation of experience, rebuilding trust in one's perceptions, and restoring a sense of self that may have been weakened by chronic gaslighting and devaluation. The practical value lies in helping readers separate the need to prove abuse to everyone else from the need to protect their own well-being. Boundaries, self-reflection, emotional restoration, and the recovery of self-worth are treated as central tasks. The book also encourages readers to look inward without implying that they caused the abuse. That distinction matters. Survivors may need to examine why they stayed, ignored red flags, or doubted themselves. But this self-examination is framed as recovery work rather than self-blame. Compared with books that focus mainly on identifying narcissistic traits, Mirza gives significant attention to the aftermath and to the slow repair of confidence, peace, and personal agency. In conclusion, The Covert Passive-Aggressive Narcissist is best suited for readers who suspect that a painful relationship involved manipulation but have struggled to identify clear evidence of abuse. It is especially relevant for survivors of relationships with partners, parents, bosses, or socially admired figures whose private behavior conflicts with their public image. Therapists, coaches, and support professionals may also find it useful as a survivor facing explanation of how covert emotional abuse can function in daily life. The book offers practical benefits by helping readers name subtle patterns, distinguish isolated conflict from repeated psychological control, and understand why chronic invalidation can produce anxiety, depression, confusion, and low self-worth. Intellectually, it contributes to the popular literature on narcissistic abuse by emphasizing a less visible subtype, the passive-aggressive, covertly controlling person who may not fit the stereotype of overt grandiosity. What makes the book stand out is its combination of pattern recognition and recovery focus. Many books in this category concentrate heavily on narcissistic traits or dramatic relationship cycles. Mirza gives comparable attention to the hidden quality of the abuse and to the survivor's need for validation, boundaries, and restored self-trust. Its strength is not clinical taxonomy, but accessible clarity for people trying to make sense of harm that was subtle, deniable, and cumulative. If you would like to support Debbie Mirza, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.